And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Going around the world, broadcast, huge wattage from Worldwide Christian Radio out of Nashville, Tennessee, and, of course, our own powerofprophecy.com streaming audio available 24/7. Hey, you know, I'm going to have some fun today. I love to expose politicians, don't you? Hey, we should all do this. This should be America's favorite pastime, to unmask and expose these crooked, corrupt, and deceitful politicians. I love it. It's been a great sport, of course. I think it's a better sport, a little bit more intellectually creative than baseball, football, and boxing and track and all those, you know. Rather than bat a tennis ball around, I'd rather bat a politician around, wouldn't you? Now, not those very few that tell the truth, but they are so few. It's just incredible. Boy. Well, today we're going to talk about how we're going to start up really, we're going to have a two-part series about the Democrat and then next week the Republican Party. I mean, you know, let's be fair. Let's hit both sides of the old political ball here, huh? And it struck me as I began to study for this two-part series that these people really, oh, with all their pomp and pageantry, they try to act like independent characters, but they're really nothing but marionettes, little puppets on a string, and somebody is pulling the strings. We're gonna find out who that somebody is today and next week. Today, we're going to focus on the Democrats. They seem to be a more lively party, more fun. You know, the Republicans, they're sort of, you know, frog stuck in the mud type of thing. Or should I say, elephant. with his feet stuck in the mud, its trunk all tied together in knots. Well, the old donkey. That's the symbol of the Democrats. We're going to talk about that today. I'm already having fun with the Democrats as they're campaigning for the presidential nomination, because somebody sent me an email about Barack Obama giving a speech down in Selma, Alabama. And I guess he wanted to attach himself to the civil rights movement. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. Barack Obama has a white mother. And his father is black, all right, but he's from Africa. He's not even American. So, you know, and his mother, she abandoned America and moved to Indonesia. She hadn't been back here maybe except to visit in decades. So he's got an Indonesian mother and a African native father. So, you know, this guy wasn't even living in America. He wasn't born in America. He doesn't have any American cultural influence, but he wants to latch on and say, oh yeah, oh man, I'm like Martin Luther King. Vote for me. And of course his name, Barack Obama, you know, Osama Obama or whatever it is. You know, the guy's was brought up as a Muslim. Now I know we have the black Muslims in America, but very few Americans are Muslims. Now he did join though as an adult, I guess politically, palatable and all, you know, he joined the Church of Christ, the Black Church of Christ. And so now he can go to black churches and, you know, pretend a little bit. Okay? Well, he gave a speech in Alabama, and it was on C-SPAN. It was really funny. He talked about how his folks had the courage to marry as black and white because of the march across that bridge in Selma, Alabama by Martin Luther King. The only problem was, well, those marches didn't take place till March of 1965. And that was at least 5 years after Obama's parents had married. Well, and not only that, Barack Obama was born on August 4, 1961. That was 4 years before the Selma March. So people are, you know, discovering that Obama, he's sort of a storyteller. And it reminds me of Al Gore's claim that he invented the Internet. And I remember Hillary Rodham Clinton, another Democratic candidate for president, she gave a speech one time and to honor Sir Edmund Hillary, who was in the audience. Now, Sir Edmund Hillary, I believe, was the first one to conquer. He was a mountain climber, an adventurer, and he was the first one to, you know, go up. What's that famous peak? What's wrong with me? I can't think today. Yeah, Mount Everest. Thank you. My producer has to keep me straight on these things. Sandra Myers here. And, yeah, he was the first to go up to the top, the peak of Mount Everest. So he became very famous, Great Britain's Sir Edmund Hillary. Well, Hillary gave this speech, and with Sir Edmund Hillary in the audience, she said, I want to give Sir Edmund Hillary credit because my mother named me Hillary after him. She was so thrilled with his great accomplishment that she named, when I was born, she decided to name me Hillary after Sir Edmund Hillary. Well, the only problem with that was she was born 5 years and 7 months before Sir Edmund Hillary climbed the great mountain. So, you know, again, it all sounds good in speeches. They give these speeches and they get caught with their little fibs and lies. So that's why I do enjoy the political season a little bit. But then those dreary old commercials. Boy, they just go on and on and on. And, oh, my, you just can't take those things because none of them tell the truth. They're all put together by these big advertising PR agencies. Just a bunch of nonsense. And it just grates on your nerves, doesn't it? Well, let's talk, though, about these people. And, you know, no matter what their advertising says, no matter what their ads say, their billboards say, no matter what false claims they make sometimes in the debates, and I especially noted that in the first debate between the Democratic candidates, I listened for a few hours there, and after it was all over, I asked myself, say what? Do what? What did they say? Oh, boy. They really know how to dodge, don't they? Well, today we're going to talk about something that's true that they cannot dodge, and that is who really is their master? Who is the master? These people are marionettes. They are puppets. Of whom are they puppets for? Well, Manly P. Hall, 33rd degree Mason, wrote a number of really revealing books about the Illuminati, the elite. In one of them, he said this. He said, the ancient initiates are the invisible powers behind the thrones of earth, and men are but marionettes dancing while the invisible ones pull the strings. The initiates are the ones really in charge. They're the invisible powers, says Manly P. Hall. And these politicians then are but marionettes. The invisible ones pull the strings. Well, marionettes, initiates, invisible ones. Who's he talking about? Manly P. Hall was designated as the 20th century's greatest scholar, greatest Masonic scholar. That was in Scottish Rite Journal in an article by Mr. Fred Kleineck, the Sovereign Grand Commander of International Scottish Rite Freemasonry, the Supreme Mother Lodge, Washington, D.C. A real muckety-muck high up in the Freemasonry. So, is this true? Who are these invisible ones? Well, we go to a president to find out the truth of the fact that they are controlled, that their strings are pulled by somebody else. Because Bill Clinton, Democrat Party, of course, and now he's out on the stump. It's like the reincarnation. I think I finally do believe in reincarnation, because I've seen the reincarnation of Bill Clinton. Everybody thought he was shamed, disgraced, but now he's reincarnated as a great world statesman and political leader. And of course, George Bush, our president, had a lot to do about that, because when the huge tsunami caused such a disaster throughout the Pacific area, he appointed Bill Clinton and his father, George Bush Sr., to be elder statesmen and to figure out what to do and to work with the United Nations and all this. He helped to restore Bill Clinton. Now, that's the only sense of reincarnation I believe in. I don't believe you're born over and over and over again. That's just nonsense. But listen to this. The interesting thing is, Doree Bush, that is the sister of George W. Bush, our president, has just written, and it's been published, a new book. Sort of her biography, talking about what it's like to be a member of the Bush family. She says something interesting. She says, the Clintons have been family friends of the Bushes for many, many years, even before we all became, you know, presidents and all that. We would get together and at family, you know, things, and we're all pals. Well, no wonder my good friend Fritz Springmeier talks about bloodlines of the Illuminati. By the way, that's a book that we have, and we're going to offer today to you. Bloodlines of the Illuminati. The Bushes, the Clintons, dynasties connected. That's very interesting, isn't it? Of course, Billy Graham, the evangelist, who's a member of the Illuminati, a secret member, a secret Freemason, goes on the Larry King show and says, oh yes, Bill Clinton and I have been friends for a long time, even before he became president. George Bush, oh yes, I've been a friend of the Bushes for a long time. I spend the weekends with them down at up at Kennebunkport, Maine. There's an old saying, and you know it's true. Birds of a feather flock together. Well, Illuminati dynasties of a feather flock together too. Of course they do. So you say, well, wait. One is a Republican and one is a Democrat. So, I have two arms, friends. I am a human being. I have two arms. I have a left arm and a right arm. But I, in the very middle of them, somewhere approximately, I have a heart. And I have a brain located in proximity, you know, in the middle between the left and the right. It's my brain, sometimes inspired by my heart, that tells my left and right hand what to do. And I can have the left hand independently work and pick up an item or an object. Or I can direct with my brain the right hand to pick it up. Or I can work them together and collaborate with both hands in achieving some task. Likewise, the Illuminati has its left hand and its right hand. The left hand, we might call the Democrats. The right, the Republicans. But the brain, the elite, the inner core, the people who in my book, Circle of Intrigue, I call the hidden inner circle of the global Illuminati conspiracy, they give directions to each hand. You know, I mean, it's not like Dr. Strangelove, you know, from the movie How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. Dr. Strangelove, he had an artificial arm, and it kept trying to creep up and choke him around the neck. He couldn't quite, it didn't seem to quite obey his orders. You know, the like one of these horror movies. It was disconnected. Friends, they're all connected. They're the Illuminati bloodlines. John Kerry, Bill Clinton, Hillary, George Jr., George Sr., they're all together in it. And they must do a lot of laughing behind their back at people that believe that they are deadly enemies. Oh, boy. Arguing in public. Reminds me of a good friend of mine. Said she was in high school. And she was on the debate team. And the teacher said, okay, you know, Julie, you're going to debate. I forget his name now, Sam. She says, I can't do that. He's my best friend. She says, your job as a debater is to forget your friendship and debate him. That's the task at hand. So she dutifully got up and, you know, she tried to massacre her opposition. But after it was all over, it was all just in good fun. It was just to get a grade. It was there. In fact, she didn't even believe in her position. She was told to take the affirmative, and the other guy took the negative position. She didn't believe in the affirmative. But the teacher said, it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. That's your job. Learn it. Go up and speak it. So she did. Right after the debate, they got back together again. They were old pals. And they didn't really believe in what either one of them were saying. They're just putting on a performance, an act. That's the way it works in politics. The better actors get the higher jobs. They're like virtual presidents. What does virtual mean? It means almost there, but not quite because somebody's pulling the strings. Everybody joked about Ronald Reagan being an actor, but how true it was. Because behind the scenes, well, there it was. Somebody was telling him what to do. George Bush. I've seen a lot of cartoons of him as a marionette, Dick Cheney pulling on the strings. But who does Dick Cheney work for? That's the question. Well, Bill Clinton, this is from the book, by the way, The Synagogue of Satan, that we recently published, and I wrote the foreword for. It's written by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock of Great Britain. Bill Clinton was on a trip to Ireland, and he made an incredible admission, and I think it's very important. Maybe, you know, one of the most important statements that Bill Clinton ever made, other than that one about, I did not have sex with that woman. I thought that was a pretty good statement. Because he was really proven to be a liar in that one. But this one, I believe him. You see, something's wrong with me, friends. You're going to have to pray. I'm changing. Yeah, I told you I believe in reincarnation because Bill Clinton's been reincarnated in terms of his popularity. And now we have this revelation by Bill Clinton, an admission that actually I do believe in. I believe in this man and what he says right here. 99% of the time, he's just a big deceiver and liar. But, you know, even a broken clock is correct twice a day. So give the man some credit, friends. But listen, this is what he said. This was in a public speech. Now, this is from page 243. It's quoted in The Synagogue of Satan. He says, this is Bill Clinton speaking, you know, by the time you become the leader of a country, someone else makes all the decisions. You may find you can get away with virtual presidents, virtual prime ministers, virtual everything. Someone else makes all the decisions. And I like this. I like that line. You may find you can get away with. Who is you? You can get away with virtual president. You can get away. Virtual presidents. Like the TV. You turn it on and they have virtual people. They create characters that look like real people for all these video games. Ah, yes, the wonders of acting, the wonders of modern technology, the wonders of deceit. Well, who's behind this? Well, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock put it in his book, this quote by Bill Clinton. He put it in the book, Synagogue of Satan. Well, of course, because in Revelation 2, verse 9, in Revelation 3, verse 9, our own Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who created this earth and all of the heavens, said something interesting. He said, in the last days, the group we are to watch out for, the group that will be so evil it will bring great calamity to this earth, the group that will kill and cast Christians into prison, that group is called the synagogue of Satan. You may be surprised to hear that, because you may have heard that the Muslims are the greatest threat ever. Back in the late 30s and 40s, we heard that the Nazis were the greatest. In the 50s and 60s, it was the communists. But the Bible doesn't talk about Nazis and communists. It doesn't talk about Muslims. It identifies one group and one group only as the tools of Satan that will bring about disaster, who are liars and blasphemers. That is the synagogue of Satan. So yeah, I don't like Nazis. I don't like commies. I don't like a lot of things. And they're all dangers to people's mental health and their spiritual security. But it's the synagogue of Satan that Jesus identified in his great prophecy book, the book of Revelation. And he said, read this book and I will give you, and keep it to your heart, and I will give you a special blessing. So everybody that says, oh, I don't want to hear about that, I don't believe that, I'm a skeptic. I mean, the Jews are, I mean, I love the Jews. I'm going to get my blessing because I love the Jews. And whoever blesses the Jews will be blessed by God. But wait! You're denying the word of Jesus Christ. He said, that is the synagogue of Satan. You're getting in bed with the synagogue of Satan. And don't think you won't take the mark or the name or the number of the beast. If you identify, if you get in bed with the synagogue of Satan, when Jesus also says in his word, he says, come out from them, be ye separate, and I will receive you. He's not going to receive you if you're in bed with the synagogue of Satan, as many people are today, in bed with Israel, in bed with Zionism. You better get out of that. You better just believe in Jesus Christ and realize that the true Israel, the true people of God, are those who believe in him. And they're not made up of a race. They're made up of a people, a nation that is born again in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh. And they don't have any nation here on earth, not any continuing city and nation. Paul said, here we have no continuing city. But like Abraham, we look for a city that's been promised to us, heavenly Jerusalem. If you're a citizen of heavenly Jerusalem, you don't want anything to do with the synagogue of Satan that's here on earth. Now, not every Jew is a member of the synagogue of Satan. Many Jews are members of Jesus' nation, Christianity. That's his kingdom. They have been brought into citizenship. They have been brought nigh unto heavenly Jerusalem, the Bible says, through faith in Jesus Christ. You say, well, is that possible with their Jewish blood? Shut up! I keep trying to tell you, friends, I want to be nice to people, but I don't understand why you don't believe the Bible. The Bible says it doesn't matter what your race, what you are. Maybe that matters here on earth. Maybe you can get a better job being a certain race. Maybe you can get favoritism being a certain race. Maybe you're spit upon as a certain race. Well, people will do anything to you because you're black or white or brown. They're prejudiced. But God is not prejudiced. He's not a racist. He says, whosoever will may come and drink of that living water. So he has this living water to give, and he doesn't say whosoever is white can come, or whosoever is American, or whosoever is Jewish may come, whosoever will. I love that invitation. It does away with all racism, doesn't it? But God knows that the people of this earth are racist, they are prejudiced. And no matter how much I preach on this subject here at Power of Prophecy, I know you are different, dear friends, but the world at large is a racist proposition. They may say they're not, but they have to be. They don't have the Spirit of God in them. The Spirit of God will free you from racism. If you're a Jew, a member of the ADL, a hater of Gentiles, believing in Jesus Christ and having faith in Him will free you from your racism. If you're a white man who hates blacks, believing in Jesus Christ will free you from that racist spirit. If you're a black man that says, I hate white honkies, well, I got good news for you. I know a way to erase your horrible prejudice. Believe in Jesus. That's why I have brothers and sisters that are of every earthly race. But I know that they're really not even earthlings. But let's get back to the synagogue of Satan and its control. Obviously, if the synagogue has such power that it's going to bring about global disaster and an hour of temptation upon the whole world, it's got to be influential, and it's got to be influencing politicians of both stripes or any stripe. Pastor Chuck Baldwin wrote a very interesting article for newswithviews.com. He said presidential front runners would surrender America's borders. They're going after this new immigration reform. They're going to let tens of millions more Mexicans into America, even foreign immigrants from all over the world. These illegal aliens are just pouring in now, and it's going to continue. Why? Because Democrats and Republicans are just alike. They don't believe in a wall at the border. They don't believe in keeping these illegals out. They believe in ending American sovereignty. Bush, a Republican, has signed a pact with Mexico 2005 to end American sovereignty by 2010. The North American Union. We're even going to get a new currency, the Amaro. You know we've been talking about that and exposing it. So vote for Hillary or Barack Obama, the Democrats, and that won't happen. Say what? Chuck Baldwin is absolutely correct. It's going to happen because they're all just alike. There's Democrats and Republicans in the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on the Americas, the Bilderbergers. The devil doesn't mind whether you're a Democrat or Republican. He doesn't mind. That's why Baldwin writes that virtually every Democratic candidate and the vast majority of Republican candidates would provide no relief to America's border problems. That includes Senator Sam Brownback and Newt Gingrich and on and on and on. And he says the only exceptions, of course, are Ron Paul, Tom Tancredo, congressmen who are running for office. But the media control things. Did you know that MSNBC, which sponsored the most recent Republican presidential debate, Ron Paul was one of the people up on the stage, 9 or 10 were there. And 2 hours after the debate, they did a survey online. Guess who won? 48% said Ron Paul was the most persuasive. They voted for him as doing the best job in the debate, the Republican Party debate. Over Giuliani, over McCain, over Romney. It was on MSNBC. Romney and all of them had 22%, 18%, 3%, 5%. Guess what? That was never reported in the media except MSNBC. Then it was taken off. It wasn't on Fox News. It wasn't on CBS, ABC, CNN. They don't want you to know that Ron Paul won the debate because Congressman Ron Paul is a true American, a constitutionalist. Well, when we return in just a minute, I'm going to give you a little outline, a little profile of Obama, Hillary, and the other Democratic candidates. We're going to see where they really do stand. And we might even take a look at Her Majesty Nancy Pelosi, new Speaker of the House. And we're going to find out how they're all marionettes of the synagogue of Satan. This is Tex Mars. I'll be right back. Stay with us, won't you? Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. You know, Fritz Springmeier is a very interesting author. I've known him for many years, and we offered a few other books of his, but Bloodlines of the Illuminati is my favorite. It's over 700 pages. It's a thick, thick book, and that's why we have to ask for $35 for the book, $4 shipping and handling, total of $39 postpaid. But it's worth every penny. Very small print. And I say that, you know, because it's an advantage in that it makes it even longer. It probably is the equivalent of a 1,000-page book. I mean, it's just huge. And I've read it over 5 or 6 times, off and on. You know, I read this part, that part, and so on, until finally I've read it all through again. There's all kinds of little nuggets and tidbits of information and facts. And Fritz Springmeier documents everything. By the way, Fritz Springmeier is having a little vacation now in federal prison. Here's a guy, really one of the top scholars on the Illuminati in America. And they dredged up some charges against him and sent him off to prison. Some people say, Tex, watch out, or they're going to do it to you too. Well, okay. Let them do it. I mean, you know, that's up to God. I depend on God for my protection. But in Fritz Springmeier's case, unfortunately, he's in prison. Now, he didn't rape anybody. I don't believe you robbed anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. Just some trumped up charges. I know many people think that's not possible in America, but it is. And they do. And of course, now they can grab you and put you away in prison for as long as they want to. They can even ship you to some prison over in Ethiopia or Somalia where you can be tortured for months on end, and they don't even press charges against you. I mean, you're just suspected of being a terrorist. That's how they can come and get Tex Mars, I suppose, someday. Well, Fritz Springmeier, I hope he'll get out of prison. I know he's appealing his unjust verdict against him. And, you know, it's been said that a U.S. district attorney can indict a ham sandwich. That shows you the power of these people and how much the juries today are nothing but a bunch of puppets. Talk about marionettes. You know, just like the people that were terrorized by the federal government down in Waco, the Branch Davidians. And then the few remaining survivors, they took them away and sent them to prison for 30 years. Boy, one woman was 73 years old, a remaining Branch Davidian. They said she was guilty of handing a rifle from one person to another in the compound. They don't know whether the rifle was ever fired, but I guess somebody said, hand me that rifle, Ethel, or whatever her name was. She handed it. She admitted that she had handed a rifle to somebody. 30 years! She was a victim of Koresh. Then she was a victim of the U.S. federal government. Reminds me, you know, I've always said, the only problem, the real problem that happened in Waco during that Branch Davidian David Koresh crisis was that Mr. Koresh thought he was the Messiah, and our federal government thought it was God. So you had two scorpions in a bottle. Well, back to Bloodlines of Illuminati. You gotta have this book. You must have it in your library. It's one of those must books. Bloodlines of the Illuminati. The book, $39. That takes care of all the postage and shipping. Just write to us, Power of Prophecy, 1708, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. In the USA, of course. Our phone number here, Monday through Friday, during the work day, is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. If you're not receiving our marvelous monthly newsletter, Power of Prophecy, why, we'll just send you a free subscription. We'll just sign you up for it. You don't even have to ask for it. Just order the book, and you'll get it. A free subscription. And, of course, this book, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, is available on our website. Go to our website, and we have a search engine, and type in Bloodlines of the Illuminati. And it'll take you right to a description of it, a picture of it. And I know you will not regret getting this book. And those of you who have it, You might want to get it out of your library off the shelf and read it again, because you get more information every time you read it. You know, and that's sort of the way things are, because it's so packed. Bloodlines of the Illuminati by Mr. Fritz Springmeier, scholar, writer, researcher, and political prisoner. And now let's return to my regular program. You're listening to Tex Mars, Power of Prophecy. So glad you're with us. I want to thank each of you out there that are so kind as to tune in. And I want to remind you again, I don't consider you a listener. You're a friend. You're part of our family. I know it may be an extended family, but a lot of people have extended families. And you know, I love every one of you. I really do. And there's nothing wrong. You have a good friend. In fact, he's visiting our ministry this week, Dr. John Barella. He's of Today, the Bible, and You. He does great missionary work in India, in Burma, down in South America. And he's come up to visit us for a couple of days here in the ministry. And I'm so happy to have Dr. Barella. I've known John, oh my goodness, 20 years. When I started the ministry, he had a radio and TV show. He was on about 29 television stations and I think 35 or 40 radio. But I remember the first time he called me. Now, I guess I'm just one of those old Air Force types, sort of manly. I mean, you know, I'm not too macho or anything like that. Wanda doesn't let me do that anymore. But anyway, she said, I'll slap you down, boy. You don't know. She doesn't say that. I'm just kidding. But I was sort of surprised. Now, Dr. John Barella, he's about as masculine as he can get. But I had just gone into Christian ministry, and I remember he called me one time. You know, I just got to know the guy, and he ended the conversations, and he said, well, Texas, it's been great talking with you, and remember, I love you. Well, I was taken aback. Say what? A man telling another man, I love you? Oh, maybe my dad, maybe my brother. Of course, they always did. My dad was always a big hugger, and my family, they were always big huggers. You know, I love you and all that. And they meant it. And I meant it. I'm a big hugger too. I'm sort of a friendly big teddy bear. And I love to hug people. You know, I go to a prophecy conference or a church meeting or whatever, and I enjoy hugging people. I like people. And I don't mind hugging the guys too, you know, big old papa bears. That's just fine with me. I hug them all. But I never told them I love you, except in my own, you know, immediate family. And I was sort of taken aback. But see, that's the thing about it. To John, it was nothing. He did love me as a Christian brother. I had to make sure, though, you know. Whoa! I guard this, you know. Oh, yeah. No, no one of that stuff. But he turned out to be just a wonderful Christian brother. And his precious wife of 45 years passed away recently. She died very unexpectedly of a clot to the brain. It was a huge tragedy. It was a loss to Wanda and I too, because we really loved Sister Barella. So you want to pray for him. It's only been 4 or 5 months, and it takes a long time to get over something like that. And he's pressing on. Just came back from a trip to Argentina and Paraguay, where he spoke at churches. And I tell you, John Barella is a dangerous man, because wherever you go, he's going to talk to you about the Lord Jesus. He'll just stop somebody on the road when he's, you know, we're walking down the sidewalk. You just stop somebody, ask him, do they know Jesus? When the Holy Spirit, you know, guides him, and I guess that's what missionaries do. Boy, it's something else. But I can honestly say now, every once in a while, just every once in a while, when I end a phone call with Dr. Burrell, I say, well, I love you, John. And that's something for me. So I hope you understand. You probably think I'm just so closed. I'm just so tied up in knots. I'm not tied up at all. I'm an outgoing guy. But, you know, I'm a man. Don't confuse me with Barney Fagg. No, it's not Barney Fagg. It's Barney. What's his name? Yeah, Barney Frank. The homo congressman from the Democrat from the People's Republic of Massachusetts. Well, let's get back into talking about Barney Fagg. They've already talked about one of the Republicans, the Democrats. He's just like many Republicans. He's like that Mark Foley from down in Florida. They must have got along great in Congress. Two homosexuals working together to harvest little boys, right? Well, Harmony Grant, who works for Ted Pike, you know, he's been on the program many times, exposing the Zionist network. And she writes recently an article called Congress, the New Knesset. Now, that's the Israeli state parliament. Congress is the new Knesset for the Zionist. Congress, she says, not only made up of more Jews than ever, about 1,500% times, you know, or 15 times as much as their proportion racially in the U.S. population. But it seems, she says, that they're at the top. For example, did you know that Senator Chuck Schumer is head of the Senate finances for candidates? He runs the group for the Democrats in the U.S. Senate that decides which senatorial candidate in whatever of the 50 states is going to get money. Now, Schumer is a member of the ADL and AIPAC, the American Israel Political Action Committee. He's one of the biggest Zionist promoters in Congress, and he has the money bags. You can't even run for the U.S. Senate unless you're independently wealthy. Think about that. You have to come to Senator Schumer on bended knees and say, please give me money from the fund of the Democrat National Committee. I want to run for the Senate. And he says, well, now, let me see. Do you support the Jews enough? Will you promote the Jewish lobby? Will you support Israel over America or whatever it takes? Yes, I will. Okay, here's some money. Then over in the House of Representatives, guess what? Who, you know what the chairman is of the Democratic Party's money committee? They actually oversee who gets money, which candidates, and how much they get throughout the United States. Rahm Emanuel, a Jew. Amazing. We're going to talk a little bit more about Rahm Emanuel. He's known as a ruthless, tyrannical, cruel person. He and Schumer, they control the House and the Senate, the money for the candidates. You don't get the bucks unless you please two Jews, Schumer and Emanuel, for the Senate and the House. Then we get to international relations. Why is Israel going to get everything it wants? Why are the Jews around the world going to be favored? Because a man named Tom Lantos, a Jew and a Zionist, is head of the International Relations Committee for the House. But wait, that's not all. His deputy on the committee is Representative Howard Berman, another liberal Democrat from California. Woo. Unbelievable. They control it all. Our foreign policy. Who can even run for office? They're it. But wait, we're not over yet. Representative Steny Hoyer, Democrat, Maryland, is majority leader of the House. I read recently an article in Newsweek that said Hoyer, quote, is on a first name basis with much of the board of the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Actually, it's Public Action Committee. AIPAC. And has been to Israel multiple times to meet with political friends. They tell the guy what to do. He's House Majority Leader. Another powerful Jewish ADL leader is Representative Zoe Lofgren, Democrat of California. She's chairman of the Immigration Subcommittee. And the Jews want the dissolution of America, the Zionists do, because they want a Zionist New World Order, and they can't get it as long as America is the primary power. They want America to be using its military and diplomacy power, but they want us as part of the North American Union. Zoe Lofgren, Jewish Democrat. There she is. The Immigration Subcommittee. Incredible. Harmony Grant ends her article by saying, our foreign policy in the Mideast will grow only more destructive unless the Zionist lobby and Zionist politicians are recognized as primarily loyal to a foreign power, Israel, not to American interest. She says they're also not loyal to our troops who are dying for Israel. Get that? Dying for Israel in the Middle East. I have a list here. I'm going to cover it next week for the Republicans. But this week, let me tell you a little bit about the pro-Israel Political Action Committee contributions to the Democrats. Remember that money I was telling you about? Oh, yeah. In every state of the union, those Democrats who run are getting money from these pro-Israel political action committees. They call them PACs. I don't know if I would go to the names. There's so many of them. You know, they're just, let's just look at them. Nancy Pelosi got $84,000. Speaker of the House. 84 grandavos, as I call them, from the Jewish lobby. Of course, Tom Lantos, the guy who's head of the International Relations Committee, a Jewish congressman, Democrat from California, got $120,000. Loretta Sanchez. Boy, she's for bringing in all those illegal aliens in America and giving them all amnesty that are already over here. Helps to get $46,000, doesn't it, Loretta Sanchez? Yes, it does, she says. And she did, from the pro-Israel PAC lobby. Then there is Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware. He's running for president, along with Hillary and Obama and such. Joe Biden, Democrat, liberal, over $100,000 he's got. In Florida, Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat,'s got $115,000. Robert Wexler, congressman from Florida and a Jew, he only got $14,000. I guess they don't need to pay him off. He's already one of the biggest Jewish lobby men in America. And it goes on and on. Let's see. I wonder which ones I should name just because they're sort of interesting. Ted Kennedy, he got $94,000. He always supports the Jewish lobby. Congresswoman Debbie Stabenow, she's part of the Hillary Brigade, $101,000. So it goes. I got pages of the names, but we'll cut off from that. Let's talk about Nancy Pelosi. Midnight Messenger, Des Griffin, publisher of that. He's my good friend and pal. He had an article about Debbie Kidd. She's a precious lady out of California. She and I have communicated some. I love her writing. She loves to expose these things too. Debbie Kidd says the swearing in of Nancy Pelosi was covered by all the networks ad nauseum. It was hailed as historic. It's the sisterhood, however, of the sycophants. In other words, the kiss-ups, those who'll just do whatever they're told. Nancy Pelosi is sisterhood, head of the sisterhood of the sycophants. And Debbie Kidd, now this is a woman talking. Now don't jump on me, people. But she says Pelosi is also the new head of the Brassiere Brigade. I'm not sure about that. I don't even know if Nancy Pelosi wears a brassiere, but I'm not going to question it. If Debbie Kidd says that, the Brassiere Brigade, okay. I guess that's sort of a cute little thing. She calls this the feminization of Congress. Really? And she says it's been, now this is a woman speaking, and a very clever and fascinating woman, Debbie Kidd. A very, very much a constructionist for the Constitution. Great believer in patriotism. She says the feminization of Congress has been destroying constitutional government for decades, running America into oceans of unpayable debt and breeding generations of helpless women whining for mother government to take care of them and their every need. And Nancy Pelosi is now the chief of the sisterhood of the sycophants. She calls these constitutionally challenged females. They didn't used to call it challenged. They call it disabled or handicapped. And maybe they are mentally or spiritually handicapped. The communist agenda, she writes, will be advanced by the Brassiere Brigade in Congress. And then she goes back to quote Gus Hall, who, by the way, was a Finnish American from Finland. His folks were. Gus Hall, who's now dead and gone and probably in hell, was head of the Communist Party USA. He was Jewish, by the way. Aren't they all in the Communist Party? She said way back in, she quotes Gus Hall, who said back in 1996 in an interview with the newspaper there in Cleveland called The Plain Dealer. Listen to this. Socialism in America will come through the ballot box. Over in Soviet Russia, they had a revolution and they seized power and thus began the Red Terror. 66 million perished in the gulags, writes Alexander Solzhenitsyn, known as the greatest historian of the 20th century. But over here in America, Gus Hall says, we don't need to use bullets and guns. Socialism in America, communism that is, will come through the ballot box. Debbie Kidd says he was right. And the feminization of American politics has hastened the process. Then she goes on to note something sort of comically, but sadly. She says the Democratic base, that's the real hardcore Democrats, the liberals out there, are already in total shock. They thought that Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, who's now taken over the Senate as the Senate Majority Leader, and Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, they thought, well, with Pelosi and Reid and the Democrats running Congress, we're going to stop this Iraqi war right away. After all, Congress has the purse strings. They can cut off the war by cutting off the funding. We're in the chips. We can stop the war, said the liberal Democrats. She says, and I'm going to read Debbie Kidd. She says, already those on the left feel betrayed because Pelosi and her fellow comrades, good words, choice there, have said there will be no impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Adding insult to injury, those who were sure that once the Democrats took control of the Politburo, Congress, would immediately defund this undeclared, unconstitutional invasion of both Afghanistan and Iraq. But they're getting a dose of D.C. reality, says Kidd. Because the gas bags, now this is Debbie Kidd's words, the gas bags in Washington, D.C. indicate that the new crack-the-whip, most powerful woman in the world, Leather Queen Pelosi, doesn't have the stomach for the fight. Well, of course she doesn't have the stomach. She doesn't have anything. She's a puppet. She's a marionette. She'll do what they tell her to do. Now, Tex, do you have any evidence that she's behind, the Jews are behind her? Are you sure she even knows the top Jews in America and she associates with them? Do you have evidence of this horrible accusation, Mr. Morris? Well, yes, I think I do. Come to think about it, I think it all came about after she became House Speaker. She jockeyed right over to the annual convention of the American Israel Political Action Committee, where she was a speaker, where she told them that she was 100% behind Israel and that America would never veer in its support of Israel. And they clapped for her. Now, Israel is the one that wanted us to go in Iraq. They declared that Saddam Hussein was their Haman of the year. Read Esther in the Bible and you'll know what that means. Iraq, take it out, America. Do it for Israel. Netanyahu said, I'm glad 9/11 happened. Now you can see how we feel. He wanted us to go after Iraq. They want us to have a war in the Middle East. But Israeli lives aren't being lost. American lives are. They don't care if a man named Jones from Indiana or a girl named Jackson from Houston, Texas, put on an American uniform and go over and have their heads blown off by an IED explosive device planted alongside the road. The Jews in Israel don't care. They say, that's great. Just keep the police state going there in Iraq. Iraq was our enemy. You took it out. Good job. Now go after Iran. Go after Syria. We're going to run the whole Middle East. We're going to have all the oil of the Middle East. Friends, Iraq has the second largest store of oil reserves in the world, the petroleum industry says. And now it's under the control of Israel. You say, no, it's our troops that are there. Yeah, but the Israeli Mossad is running the show there. Don't think for a moment. Do some research. You'll find that an oil pipeline has been finalized. There's an oil pipeline running between Iraq, or I should say from Iraq, Western Iraq, into Israel. They're getting millions of barrels of oil, and they're not paying a dime for it. See, everybody thought that once we conquered Iraq, all that oil, the spigots would be open up, and our gas prices would go down. I mean, after all, our gas prices, when we invaded Iraq, what were they, like $1.30, $1.40 a gallon? Oh, that was so much. Everybody said, well, now that we've got Iraq, we'll turn on the oil spigots. The world will have so much oil and gas, it won't know what to do with it. We'll probably have gas for 50 cents a gallon. But it didn't happen. Gasoline now, after 6.5 years of Bush, is $3 and something a gallon at your pump. But Israel's getting all the oil it wants. And what's it doing with it? It's shipped over to their tankers over on the Gulf there, down through the Mediterranean, over to China, Singapore, Australia. They're selling, they're making billions of dollars off Iraqi oil. I'm talking about the Israeli oil men. We are dying in Iraq for Israel. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. Thank you, Harry Reid. Thank you, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and all the Republicans and Democrats. Left hand, right hand. The synagogue of Satan controls them all. Does it not? Well, I wish I had so much time. I like talking about Hillary. She is like Republicans a lot. Here's from, again, Midnight Messenger, but is also in Time and Newsweek. It seems that on a trip to Estonia, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton sat in the private jet next to Senator John McCain. They're old pals. And they had a special moment together. And General John McCain challenged Hillary. No, actually, according to this report, Hillary Clinton astonished her traveling companions by suggesting that they have a vodka drinking contest the way they do in Estonia in the Baltics and in Russia. Well, the leader of the Republicans on plane, Senator John McCain, quietly agreed. Now, John McCain, Republican. And so he and Hillary Rodham drank drink for drink in a big vodka drinking contest. Now, both of them laughed about it afterwards. The newsman asked them who won. They said their memories are a bit hazy because they drank so much. Isn't that special? And McCain said, you know, I found Hillary Clinton, Mrs. Clinton, to be one of the guys. She's just one of the guys. Friends, all the Democrats are one of the guys. And all the Republicans are one of the guys. They're all marionettes of the synagogue of Satan. Well, this is Tex Mars. It's been great being with you today, and I hope you'll tune in next week at the same time on the same radio station or on the internet. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.